Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Well, hello and welcome to this special interview with Ann Coulter, firebrand political commentator and New York Times best-selling author. Ann, thank you so much for coming in.
Great to be here, especially I see the back of your computer there, Restore.
Well, we should come to that, shouldn't we?
You're even more hardcore than Reform.
Well, why not? Let's start there. What do you see when you look at British politics? Are you impressed by any of the figures you see here?
I think you should go to a two-party system.
Right. Which two?
Probably Restore and Reform.
Okay. Yeah. No, I would certainly like that. Yeah. The logic of first past the post does sort of constrain the system.
It may be that you just have more, well, until recently, more far left people, at least historically, than the U.S. did. I mean, obviously that's changed recently. Yeah. But a weird thing about Europe, including England, has always been that your unions tended toward communism.
Yes. I mean, it's always confused me because we've got oil and communists here. So I'm kind of wondering why we haven't been invaded yet. I mean, I keep advancing that idea, but no one's taken me up on it so far. Anne, tell me, you were probably one of the first people to see potential in Trump. You were very early on that.
Yes.
Train. And I mean, you can speak for yourself as to what you saw, but I'm wondering if it's perhaps insurgent energy. And I'm wondering if whatever it was that you saw, is that what you got?
Well, it was 100% immigration. I had just put out the book Adios America. And I was FedExing, dropping off copies for the Koch brothers, they're big Republican donors. Chris Christie, he was running for president that year. Mitt Romney, I'd preferred him the year before. I even like Post-it noted, you only need to read these crucial chapters. And, you know, all of the Republican Party was, we love immigrants. And let me tell you about my immigrant grandparents. I always love that part of the debate. Let me tell you about my colonial ancestors who came here in 1840. You interloper recent immigrants. Anyway, Trump asked me for a copy of the book after my very first interview, which was like a day before the book came out. And then he gave that speech, which is the famous escalator speech, which is a somewhat more aggressive version of my book. I mean, one of the things I talked about in Adios America, I couldn't cover all of the massive crimes being committed by recent immigrants, so I concentrated on the ones. I mean, one of the things I guess you guys are finding out is that different cultures specialize in different kinds of crimes. And this great advantage America used to have, I think you guys had it too, is that our criminals were dumb, so it was easy to catch them. Oh no, not anymore. Now we're getting these, you know, high IQ Romanian and Indian fraudsters and credit card schemes. And in any event, the real problem for the U.S. are the Latin American countries to our south, and one of their specialties is child rape. So there's a lot about that in Adios America, and coincidentally, that was the spiciest part of his opening speech.
We're starting to get that here as well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think what you're pointing to is that our societies used to be high trust societies where actually if you were a smart, capable individual, you could do quite well in the system. And the system sort of assumes, therefore, that if people were sufficiently integrated, they would follow the same channel, mm-hmm. not that they could use ethnic networks to game the system entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it appears to be happening in the US as well. So I take it that you would reject the notion that the U.S. is a propositional nation.
No, it's utter madness. And by the way, we can kind of blame you guys for that. The reason it in theory, I mean, even had a germ of an idea was every revolution up until the American Revolution was based on different groups of people. One group was oppressing another group, and okay, we've had it, we're going to take over now. But they were, you know, ethnic groups, racial groups, whereas Americans called themselves English. During Paul Revere's ride, somebody came and, you know, they're yelling, waking everybody up, wake everybody up, the British are coming, the British are coming.
Yeah, all the founding fathers called themselves either English or occasionally German or something.
And they, the guy yelled down, I don't know whose house it was, you know, don't yell that way. This is an Englishman's house. So they all called themselves English. So what was the theory? That's where the idea came from. Well, yes, we're genetically identical. We have the same language, the same religion. We look the same. It wasn't even, I mean, we didn't even have a lot of, if we had any, Germans then. We had some Irish, the Protestants, some French, the Protestants. So you have identical genetic people. So our difference is going to be we're not going to have a king. So this is the idea that there's sort of a creed that set us apart, but still it was supposed to be British people.
Yes. Yeah. And when sort of people see themselves in the same tribe, they can, you know, I think what the Anglo people did is they built a society where they rewarded competence over kin, because actually they were in broadly a kin group.
Yes.
But I don't think the rest of the world has learned that lesson.
Not at all. It's a huge problem. Yeah. That's one of the great things about, well, Americans, by which I mean Americans. We hate our families. It's very hard to create a network. I mean, the mob was our first, the Italian immigrants brought us organized crime for the first time. And now, man, you see it throughout all of these ethnic groups. But that isn't the natural. I mean, famously, I mentioned this in Adios America, the Rosenbergs, who were spying on the U.S. and giving the secrets for the nukes to the Soviet Union. The Rosenbergs were turned in by Ethel Rosenberg's brother, Stephen, I think it was Stephen, Greenglass. Makes it a lot easier to bust up, you know, criminal networks when it's not all, oh, no, he's my brother-in-law.
Yes. Yes. Why is it, do you think, that people who come in like Trump with this sort of insurgent energy so often end up getting captured by the system itself?
It's very sad. You're Boris Johnson and Trump had a lot in common in that way. Both such utter disappointments. And I know I'm not supposed to say that about Trump, because I understand that the deep state is so vicious to him. People, you want to defend someone who's being unfairly attacked. And of course he has been since he came down the escalator, but he started off a little bit better second term. First term, look, it's over now, water under the bridge. He just totally blew off immigration. We fired Steve Bannon very quickly. Our big accomplishments. I distinctly remember watching this. I hope this American politics isn't so boring for your audience, but our first midterm elections, I'm watching the conservative news networks trying to figure out, what are you guys bragging about? You had 2 years with a Republican House, a Republican Senate, a Republican president who came in on massively changing immigration, and the fact that no other Republican running for president agreed with him on that. I wrote about it in Trump We Trust. I read through all of their debates, and it was just enraging the way Republicans used to talk about immigration. George Bush, the previous president, was the worst. The fact that he won when the polls were saying 90%, New York Times poll the day of the election was 89%. Hillary was likely to win. By the way, I did a lot of British media that night because after Brexit, you guys kind of had an inkling that there might be an upset. So after that, you would think the Republican Party, you know, it's got to be pedal to the metal. We got to fund that wall. Let's start the deportations. Oh, no. We have to have tax cuts again. Tax cuts. Half the country doesn't pay taxes. It was utterly moronic. And so what were they bragging about before the midterm elections? 2 years in, we moved the embassy. It's all about Israel.
Yes, I mean, I suppose that came back with the vengeance in the second term. But, I mean, in the first term, there were things to like. For example, no new wars. I quite like that aspect of it.
No new what?
No new wars.
Walls?
Wars.
Oh, wars, yes. Sorry. Yes.
Particularly Middle Eastern ones.
Yes, that was a definitely a high point.
And that was quite a strong sort of re-election for you know, all three of the elections that he won. You know, the no new wars thing did sort of hold up quite well. But that seems to have gone by the wayside as well. Why did that happen, do you think?
It's really depressing. It's really awful. It's going to destroy the Trump presidency and possibly the country because it's going to be a wipeout in the midterm elections. It's an absolute disaster. Trump listens to Netanyahu, Miriam Adelson, and Rupert Murdoch, and they wanted war. Apparently, although I think a little of this is, oh my gosh, this war is a disaster. Let's call up the New York Times and say we were against it. I think the only member of the administration who was really against it was J.D. Vance. That certainly seems to be, I mean, he was a genuine anti-war person and on secretly recorded conversations after the first bombing of Iran. There was, I think, the defense secretary, a few other underlings on foreign policy. Rubio and Vance were on a phone call, and the whole phone call leaked because a journalist was on the phone call and taped the whole thing. And the only one saying, doesn't this go against the no more, no new wars? We're not going to meddle in it. Shouldn't we get back to the only one was J.D. Vance. So now people like Rubio, our defense secretary, are calling into the New York Times saying, oh, I advised against it. Well, maybe, but.
Do you see potential advance?
Yes, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's a binary choice. So who's better? I think his heart is MAGA. I think he's a little bit too socialist on some stuff. A lot of the newfound populists confuse populism with socialism. But other than that, I think he's absolutely MAGA, Make America Great Again. I think he's absolutely concentrating on the left behind Americans, as we call them, because he comes from the left behind Americans. He knows how they've been ignored and stepped on. So I think his heart is absolutely there. He has a very high IQ, which, by the way, is such an exciting surprise if you're a Republican.
Well, Republicans in general or Republican politicians?
Oh, my gosh. No, Republican politicians. Right. And even if they aren't abject morons, they can't talk like... Yeah. I mean, I don't think the first Bush was a moron. I think the second Bush was a moron.
I think the first Bush was dangerously sharp.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. That's probably a better way of putting it. But neither of them could talk.
Well, yes.
Vance has a high IQ, and he's really good in hostile interviews, which is any media interview. They're so much fun to watch. And he's fantastic in a debate.
Mm. He's not embodying the sort of Anglo tradition in his own family unit, though. Does that bother you at all?
Well put. Well, it's not my favorite thing. But again, it's a binary choice. You know, his wife was just gave birth to, I don't know, their third or fourth child. They're really into this natalism, these Catholics. When he announced the pregnancy, I was about to tweet, because he's given his kids Indian names. Mm. One of them is actually named Vivek.
Oh, okay.
So I almost tweeted out, you know, to make up for Vivek, you should name this one Clem. And my finger hovered over post, and I thought, okay, screw it, I'm not going to send it.
You show restraints on that one.
Yeah, so yeah. Don't let people tell you I don't show restraint. I thought that
absolutely. I mean, you say it's a binary choice, but of course you do have quite a strong sort of pre-stage to that, your sort of primary stage, or
right.
when you're discussing the various candidates. But you've been talking as if you see sort of J.D. Vance as the sort of heir apparent. Is that true?
I hope so. I think so.
And when you're a big country, I mean, you've got lots of talent to pick from, hopefully.
When I say a binary choice, I mean, in this case, in the primary, of course, it can be anyone.
Yeah.
But My question is, who else? And I don't see any other who else's I like. Maybe one will come along, but I can't think of one. I loathe Rubio.
Okay, why is that?
Well, I just wrote, I don't know, a month or two ago in the American Spectator, an article covering Rubio's foreign policy. Every single foreign policy idea he has ever had is a complete disaster, the opposite of what we got. And provably.
Standard neocon, effectively.
You bet. And like Trump, that wasn't what he ran on from the state of Florida. His very first move when he got to the United States Senate was to start a petition demanding the removal of Muammar Gaddafi, who was at that point George Bush's bitch because of the Iraq war, which I supported and I would still support. But that so terrified other strong men in the region. I don't know if you remember this, although I think it came from from a British official. Muammar Gaddafi went to some Brit and said, is he going to attack us next? And to prevent that eventuality, he invited in the weapons inspectors. They could come in whenever they wanted to. He finally paid back Americans multiple millions of dollars for terrorist attacks in the past. And as no American knows, but I would hope every European knows, it was Gaddafi who was holding back the hordes coming in to the UK. Yes. He would demand payments from, I think it was Italy and France were paying him. He would just say, pay me millions of dollars or all of Africa is going
to be here overnight. Well, speaking of dollars, he did also flirt with moving away from the dollar. And I've always wondered if that was the key element, because obviously America is still a very powerful country, no matter what the rise of China may indicate for the future. But it's not really your aircraft carriers that give you the strength. It's the dollar.
Yes. I guess, again, I'd say, maybe not binary, but who else? I hope that remains the same. But I think the Iran war has really hurt our standing. The Chinese premier taunted Trump with this when Trump visited, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, saying it was a Suez moment.
It feels that way, yeah.
Yep.
Another waterway to the downfall of another perceived empire.
But the only thing I'd question is China the one? Are they really going to take over from us? Maybe it's just going to be a globe of mediocrity. Maybe there will be no outstanding country. There will be no one to save people from tsunamis and warlords. There will be no one inventing anything. Maybe we'll just enter 1,000 years of darkness.
Well, there doesn't need to be a global hegemon. There can just be regional powers.
I wish.
That doesn't alarm you so much. If America, because it has had a series of unfortunate incidents. The withdrawal from Afghanistan was not as dignified as perhaps it could be. Mm-hmm. And exerting the power in various proxy wars, Ukraine and whatever, is also not going strong. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that I'm sure America could defeat Iran. But it is a fortress made out of mountains, and the body count would be rather high getting it done.
Luckily, that is not apparently in the list of options for Trump. There's no way he's going to send ground forces.
Is victory in his list of options then? Because if you start taking off...
There are no good options now, and it is slowly penetrating that thick skull of his. At a lovely church in London this week, and they have disputations sometimes, separate from the church service. And one of them was, they were going to have two people arguing on each side for the proposition, was World War II the last just war? And other than Iran, or rather Iraq and Afghanistan, I would completely support that proposition. I think every other war has just led to...
It smuggles in certain assumptions I'm not sure I'd naturally agree with.
Which one? Iraq and...
No, the World War II was entirely just. There was certainly just element to it, but we live in the era of post-World War II propaganda,
yes,
which has given us the sort of post-war liberal settlement, which has given us mass immigration and very weak right-wing politicians.
I agree with your point that there's just a little too much World War II worshiping. At some point, it gets cloying and annoying. And by the way, I would say the same thing. I hit my limit on Ronald Reagan worship a long time ago. Yeah. You got to move on, guys. But putting aside the the greatest generation and the whole thing, which, you know, they're fine, they're good, but can you ever talk about anything else? Has anyone ever done anything else good? I think the blame for the immigration crisis, as Peter Brimelow coined the expression, it's Hitler's revenge. Now, because Hitler, although that guy, what's his name? Yoram, I'm mispronouncing this, Hazony. Please look it up and pronounce his name correctly.
I'm terrible at pronunciations, and I'm...
Yeah, this one I'm never going to get, but he wrote a book, I think it's called In Defense of Nationalism, and he makes the great point that nationalism, that it isn't... People have misunderstood because the Holocaust was discriminatory. Well, it was a little more than discriminatory. It's like, that isn't the problem. But the whole master race thing, we may never, ever, ever... discriminate, and therefore you have to let the entire third world move to your country and steal from you and consume all your services. People have also used it to attack the rise of Nazi Germany, to attack nationalism. And Hazony, whose name I'm mispronouncing, I'll look it up on the break. I know you don't have commercial breaks.
If you enjoyed that content, and of course you did because you are a smart person, then why don't you go over to lotuseaters.com where you can watch the whole episode for as little as £5 a month, which really is not much money at all, and you get loads of really good content.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.